I'm very happy now to welcome Mona Malik. She's director of the Pulitzer Prize-winning play by Sam Shepard, Buried Child, which is at the Santa Fe Playhouse. It started actually last weekend and is happening now Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 7:30 and Sundays at 2 o'clock through the 14th of April. And Larry Glaister and Kat Sawyer, who were actors in Buried Child, welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
So this is a super intense play from 1978, set probably around that time, the 1970s, in the rural Midwest. And it's about a broken family and the crazy disconnections, almost unbelievable surrealistic disconnections among the different people in this family, and what happens kind of when an outside element is brought in, namely a person who isn't a member of their family.
Right. Right. Or with one person who actually is a member of their family.
Right. A girlfriend.
Back.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is a play that is, in a funny way, a portrait of a certain part of the American mentality, like to me, a certain part of our mentality, namely denial.
Yes. I think that's a good analysis of that. I mean, I really look at this play. It looks like realism, but it sort of isn't. There's a lot of realistic elements to it, but just like you said, there's a lot of surrealistic elements to it as well. But it does take a fisheye lens look at how families recreate histories as they need to so that each member can survive.
I suppose the part that is realistic is the dialogue, which is very closely observed dialogue of the kind that people would speak. I mean, just the way they speak to each other, the way they interrupt each other, the tone and that kind of thing.
Right. And, you know, what I look at in terms of what's not realistic is the timeline. A lot of people will take a look at this play and really want to analyze, well, when did this happen? And when did this happen? And when did this happen? And there's no answer. There's a lot more questions left after someone reads this play or hopefully sees this play than are when they first sit down. And
so to say that there is a dead child embedded in this play is not a giveaway, since the name of the play is Buried Child.
Precisely.
But who that is and what happened, I suppose, well, I mean, here's a question. As a cast, as a director, do you try to figure it out and have the answer in mind when you're doing the play?
I think that the play is set 20 years after the horrific incident that drives this play. And part of the dynamics of it is that all the members of the family remember the event a little differently. Time takes its toll on the mind and the emotions, and so we're struggling, we, the cast, are struggling to put it back together with some sense. And we all do it in a way that's protecting ourselves and not each other. So we're out there, I think, trying to make sense of that horrific event, which we probably wouldn't be doing if this stranger hadn't wandered into the house today.
That's right. Now, the two of you, Larry and Kat, play the older married couple in the house who, in some funny way, are like, I don't want to say ships passing in the night because they're on top of each other, but they really are not speaking the same language.
I think so much time has passed. We've been married for a very long time. And there's been, I think we're complacent in how we react and how we are with each other. Hallie has her own story, the story of being ignored and the story of being hurt and being alone, and she is in her own dream world and her own ideas of, as we've talked about how reality was, and reality is shifting. There's no reality. It's very, very, very subjective. And Hallie doesn't really care. I mean, she, as my husband says, just let her babble. And so there isn't too much connection anymore on that level, but on a very, very other deep level. I mean, he's always there, and he's always been there, and I've always been there. I wasn't going anywhere. We had a family. We had children. We had a farm together. But I think there's just kind of a giving up that's happened through the years, as it happens in some marriages.
When you have skeletons in your closet, I think you live together and accommodate each other without any more connection. You know, you're willing to not talk about the big issues, and you're willing to have breakfast and get up in the morning and do the chores and maintain that routine that'll keep you sane, enough routine to keep you sane. But once, if you didn't have that, it would have exploded a long time ago. For 20 years or so, we've just been doing the routine things and not getting anywhere near the crisis until this person comes along.
Right, just walking around the edges of it and not seeing it, which in a way, I think if we're all honest with ourselves and go deep enough, that's the way we all are.
I think we have to, for our own sanity. If we were confronting all of our stuff every day, I mean, we would go insane.
Right.
And there is a kind of the play does start with kind of a mundane kind of a place, and as it goes along, it gets more and more towards madness. And you know, with this incident, seeing it from an outsider, she brings it in and has the question. It just triggers the whole thing.
It's such an exciting play because this morning on my way here, I was thinking in a different way about Dodge. Dodge has a hard time forgiving the weaknesses of other cast members, other family members. And yet, he's unforgiving, and he's lived with that all these years. Yet, and I might speak about infidelity here and there in the play. But if you look at it carefully, there's plenty of evidence to suggest that Dodge himself may have dabbled in infidelity here and there.
It's
interesting that you can condemn certain weaknesses in other people, but somehow minimize it or justify it in your own lives.
Right.
And I think all the characters in this play do that.
Yes.
It's a fascinating psychological defense system that we have. And probably we all have it.
Well, and I mean, I think that's the root of a lot of homophobia in this country.
Exactly.
For example.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, in addition to being a kind of dark, horrifying picture of the American psyche, it's also really funny.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I don't necessarily see this play as incredibly dark. I never approached it that way. I think this play is wickedly funny because it takes such a pinpoint, a microscope look at our behavior, and that's funny. The way we defend ourselves is funny, especially when you look at it from the outside, from, you know, that outsider point of view. It's very funny.
Right.
Yeah.
And the young woman who is kind of the catalyst for all of this, who is the girlfriend of you guys' grandson, comes in, and when she's outside the house, she says, "Oh my God, this is so beautiful, it's charming, it's Norman Rockwell," and goes inside, and all heck breaks loose.
Yes. Yeah.
There's such wonderful absurdity in it. I mean, you laugh just because, what did he say? He said, what? Yeah. I mean, things that you would love to laugh at would have loved to have said, or... it's just, it's funny. Mm-hmm. It is funny. Yeah.
What's the rehearsal process been like? Well, now you've had one weekend of performances, but, I mean, it's such an incredibly tight ensemble piece. You all have to be really family by the time you get on stage.
Well, it's been a lovely rehearsal. I mean, period. And I will say, period. I mean, we started about a year ago and have just... kind of eased into it and moved into it in a very organic way. Plenty of time to think about it and to establish relationships. And it's just been a lovely way to approach a family, which takes time. And I'm just thrilled that we've taken this much time for exploration of such a complex situation play.
That being said, we've established a nice acting family, a nice rapport with each other, and that works very well. I think we are an ensemble group. But when it comes to the rehearsal process, digging through that script and trying to make sense of the script and put it together, that's been an uphill climb. Mr. Shepherd didn't make it easy. Made it exciting.
No, he didn't.
Made it very exciting. But to pull the pieces together and bridge the gaps, it's not a linear story. Mm-hmm. Not a linear time frame story. It's not a linear emotional journey for any one of the actors.
Right.
You know, you get to one spot and it's a leap over a canyon to get to the next spot. And please God, you don't fall in the canyon. So it's really exciting to put this together, and it's probably the hardest play I've ever done.
Yes, it is.
It's the most complex, hardest play I've ever done.
Because we all have our own story of what happened, and we're very much committed to that story. And then when you're thrown with the other characters, it's like that's going to change. Oh, maybe it didn't really did it?
Was I
just making all that up?
And you've got a terrific cast. Scott Harrison is in this, too. And he's the artistic director of Ironweed Productions, which is the group that's putting this play on. And if he were here, I would make fun of him, as I do every year. Ah, Scott, another play about dysfunctional American family.
I think that's, you know, I mean, the American experience is what his mission statement is. So
Yeah. And it's great.
I remember... The guys. I wouldn't call that a dysfunctional family play.
No, that's true.
There's a few exceptions.
There are the right. I thought that was
in the
right
10 years I've been doing this show. I think there's been one exception. And Sam Shepard is in town. Shout out to Sam Shepard if he's listening.
Sam, we've heard that. Yes.
Yes. I don't know if he goes to productions of his own plays. He'd be doing nothing else, I suppose, because this play is performed a lot. I was Googling it last night, and there are performances of Buried Child happening around the country in different community theaters as we speak. It's interesting that this play has this kind of longevity.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The play is Buried Child by Sam Shepard. Performances are at the Santa Fe Playhouse on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 7:30 and Sundays at 2 o'clock now through the 14th of April. For tickets, you can call the Santa Fe Playhouse at 505-988-4262 or go to santafeplayhouse.org. And it's a production of Ironweed Productions. Mona Malik is the director. Larry Glaister and Kat Sawyer, actors. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And I'd like now to welcome Rabbi Martin Levy. He is going to tell us about the Holocaust Cantata. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. This is a big deal. This is a musical event that's happening tomorrow night at Congregation Beit Tikva.
Yes, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at our congregation on Old Pecos Trail. This is a fantastic musical event, both a choral cantata and an instrumental performance by a group called Polyphony. And they are performing the Holocaust Cantata, which is a series of musical scores written by David McCullough. He is a noted musical expert. He research music that was produced during World War II, during the Holocaust period, by inmates who lived through the concentration camps.
They were able to compose?
Yeah, in many of the camps, Treblinka and Theresienstadt, famous musicians were sent to their death, but before they were incarcerated, before they were done away with, they wrote beautiful musical scores about their experience in the camps. And so McCullough, who's a musical kind of genius and had this piece performed at the Kennedy Center some 12 years ago, researched, wrote all the lyrics, produced the music, and we're lucky enough to have this great choral group coming up here to do the concert for us tomorrow night.
So what is the style of the music?
It is It features cellists and violinists as accompanists, but it's composed. The music score is kind of very lyrical, somber, witnessing of the experience of the Holocaust by these inmates who couldn't necessarily perform their music, but were able to write it and was smuggled out before their deaths.
Amazing.
And the lyrics are in Polish and German and different languages, so it reflects just a kind of a cross-cultural experience of what went on during World War II.
So, but it's in the classical music tradition.
Yes, very much in the classical music tradition. But the choir, the choral group that's singing, is some 25 or 28 voices. So really a strong group of singers. They're all professional singers from Albuquerque, and they've done this concert and many others throughout the state and in Denver and throughout the Southwest.
So this is a thing that's touring across the country? You said it was in Washington?
It's not touring right now. They've done other concerts this winter. They decided to perform this concert for us, and also they're doing it in Albuquerque, I believe on Sunday, in honor of the Holocaust Memorial Day, which is actually observed on Monday throughout the world.
Right. Yeah, we're doing a program on Monday about a poet who, a German poet who died in Auschwitz. Mm. And anyway.
Yes.
That's on Monday. So, okay.
But we'd love to have folks from all over the community come and join us Saturday night at 7.
Excellent.
You can get tickets through Brown Paper Bag. I think they're making a coffee for you.
They're doing their own version. It's called the Blender Cantata.
So tickets are available at the door at Congregation Bet. We're at Beit Tikva on Old Pecos or at Brown Paper Bag.
2230 Old Pecos Trail in Santa Fe. The website is beittikvasantafe.org. And the number is 820-2991. Rabbi Martin Levy, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks again, Mary Charlotte. Thank you.
We're going to take a little break. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned. And I'd like to welcome Diane Karp. She is the Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute. She's with us many Fridays speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. Good morning, Santa Fe.
Good morning, everybody. So what's going on this weekend?
There's a lot that's going on this weekend, and it's quite diverse. Tonight, we have an incredible array of openings and events that will be of great interest to the general public. Our dear Axel Contemporary, that art gallery in a truck.
We love them.
That, yes, indeed. Jerry and Matthew are an amazing pair, and they've really presented work that is so diverse and represents all kinds of both local and non-local artists. They're going to be presenting Kataman's Metal Jam, a mixed-media sculpture in a truck. The reception is from 5 to 7, and the mobile gallery van is going to be at the Rail Yard Plaza. And you can see this exhibition all the way through April 28th. So just check their website, which is, if I'm not mistaken, axelcontemporary.org. Axelart.com. Sorry.
Axelart.com.
For all kinds of information about where they're going to be. Blue Rain Gallery tonight is having their invitational group show, and Susan Contreras and a bunch of local as well as not local artists are going to have work there. And that's on Lincoln Avenue. And that will open from 5 to 7 tonight. You know, it's First Friday.
And we have to tell you that the Cat of the Week this week...
The First Friday Cat of the Week.
Yes, the First Friday Cat of the Week this week is called Citri. And Citri is a little bit shy, but very gentle, and once settled, he becomes a very sweet social kitty, and he loves affection, and it's clear that he once had a very nice home, and he's a Maine Coon mix with a long coat and orange-white tabby markings and a white blaze on his nose. How can you not want this cat? And he's probably about 2 years old. If you do want this cat, the number is 505-316-2281. You can go to you can write to askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com or go to fandfnm.org.
As I said, it's First Friday, so there are a lot of openings. Chiaroscuro Contemporary Art, which is up there at 702 and a half, I love that, and 708 Canyon Road, has its spring thaw group show. And the reception as well is from 5 to 7, and the exhibition will be up through April 27th. And there's a really nice story in PASA if you want to figure out who all these people are. Collected Works Bookstore,
yay,
which is one of our great bookstores, and we love them dearly, also has exhibitions. And tonight they are opening an exhibition of tapestries by Bengt Eriksson, and the reception will be at 5 p.m. The work will be up through mid-May.
And also at Collected Works on Sunday morning, Journey Santa Fe presents Nick Streit,
yep,
who is the head of the Taos chapter of Trout Unlimited, and Toner Mitchell, who we just had on the air the other day, from Real Life in Santa Fe, and Garrett Venneklausen talking about conserving New Mexico's waterways.
Yes.
And then on Monday, Linda Marianello and Franz Vogt will talk about Gertrude Kolmar, a literary life, and she was a German poet who died in the Holocaust, and yes, is a one considered now. She sort of, I think of her as a kind of Emily Dickinson, like she was so shy and she never showed anybody her work, and then suddenly this stuff comes out, or not so suddenly, it was saved by her family, and now she's being considered
revealed,
one of the great,
exactly,
poets of her century.
Exactly. Women in the arts, women in all intellectual practices for a very long time were either perceived as being tough and, you know, trying to be like men if they made it out, or they were these shy, retiring stay-at-homes who did what they were expected to do by society and culture and kept all of their work secret, or else they published it under a man's name.
Right, there's that too.
Yes, indeed.
So that's Monday at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore, and then at Thursday, Swaya and Collected Works present a talk with Native contemporary artist Alex Pena,
yes,
who will show and discuss his paintings, and he will give out and complimentary copies of the March-April issue of Native People's Magazine, where his work is featured.
Alex is one of the Santa Fe gems. Alex was an artist in residence at the Santa Fe Art Institute last summer in conjunction with Swaya. He is not only a painter, but he's an extraordinary printmaker, and one of the most thoughtful and charming young men you will have the privilege to meet. So come out and support him. Also opening tonight, and that's not tonight. That one's on...
That's next week.
That's next week, and I'll refer to it again.
See, ladies and gentlemen, Diane is very chronological, and I'm sort of nonlinear.
Well, it's not even that. It's that I try very hard to get all the things that are happening today out to people in a bulk so that they know there's lots of stuff to do on Friday afternoon, because it's Friday morning and you're either at work or you've got other things to do. So
that's
another
true.
Really extraordinary exhibition that's opening tonight is the Jane Sauer Gallery. And I think Jane Sauer needs to be given an enormous vote of confidence and gratitude.
She's one of very good.
She is not only very good, it's one of the great crafts galleries in the country. And what you have is you have artists. You know, the old division between arts and crafts is not so clear. It used to be the crafts were all utilitarian vessels. But Jane's showing work that is made in those realms, glass, tapestry, weaving, paper, clay, metal, that are things that are not typically thought of in the fine art range, but they are fine art, and they are craft fine art. So Jane Sauer Gallery up on Canyon Road, 652, has today opening Chroma, blown glass vessels by Gilles Bettison. They are gorgeous, and they are functional.
And there's prominently one pictured in the Pasa Tiempo.
Yes,
and
yes,
oh,
indeed.
Get your Pasa Tiempo today especially, because it's really nice.
It's beautiful.
That glass is beautiful, and the magazine's beautiful.
Absolutely. But there are all kinds of blown glass vessels, and it will be hard to believe when you see it that this is blown glass.
Yeah.
Another wonderful thing that's going on today, Patina Gallery, and Ivan's amazing, is opening Picnic for Earth. It's a group show of picnic baskets at Patina Gallery on Palace Avenue, but more importantly, it's a fundraiser and auction for the Nature Conservancy and the Santa Fe Farmers Market. So the reception for the exhibition is 5 to 7 tonight. It's up through the end of April, and on the 19th, they'll have their auction.
And tonight,
Art as Social Justice is an art exhibition with one of your favorites and mine, Issa Nyafaga.
Yes.
And then Shelley Gore, Allison James, Ngak, Natalie Campbell Walden, many other, a bunch of Pedro Trujillo, Russell Walden, Lorraine Leslie, are all artists. And this is going to be at the Santa Fe Community College East Wing Gallery between the Fine Arts Wing and the library. I guess that's right near KSFR.
It's right near KSFR, and that's tonight as well. Another wonderful opening.
From 4 to 6.
Yes. A little bit earlier, which is nice. You can go there first.
Yeah, and then you can go all the way across town and go to the Friday.
Go to all the rest of the openings. Touching Stone Gallery has an exhibition. Touching Stone is another one of those galleries that is such a gem. The exhibitions are always extraordinary. It's always Asian, primarily Japanese. And tonight they're opening Tanba Modernism Part 2, the pottery of Keiichi Shimizu. And these are works that fall into the Kanba tradition of throne ceramics, usually utilitarian. His sort of bridge the gap between utilitarian and art objects. The reception is from 5 to 7, and Touching Stone Gallery is this tiny little space off of Old Santa Fe Trail, 539. So check it out. There's also a nice little piece, a very beautiful article that was written about Shimizu in the Pasatiempo. Another thing that's going on, the Poe Museum, which is out there on your way out to Bandelier, at 78 Cities of Gold Road. The Poe Museum has Creativity Revisited. It's their silver anniversary of the museum's permanent collection, and the work in there is extraordinary. They've been collecting and working with Native artists. It's a Native-run and Native-directed museum out there at the Poe Center. I recommend it highly. The reception's from 5 to 8. Tonight, and the exhibition will be up through July 13th.
Excellent.
Another thing that's happening tonight that's kind of fun, it's about the way the arts reflect social issues. The El Dorado Funky Chicken Fuster Cluck is going on today out at the La Tienda Performance Space in El Dorado, and it's all centered around that contest that's going on between the people who want to keep chickens and the people who think chickens aren't allowed.
Right.
So if you want to do something very local, very community, and I'm sure it's going to be a great deal of fun.
Are they serving chicken?
They're not serving chicken, but they're going to be having all kinds of local bands out there and performers. They do have a contest. Bring your best deviled eggs.
Oh.
And you might win the deviled egg contest out at El Dorado Funky Chicken Fuster Cluck.
And we have a ticket giveaway right now. The National Theatre of London Live HD High Definition. It's called People, written by Alan Bennett of The History Boys and The Madness of King George, and starring Olivier Award-winning actress Frances de la Tour. And that is tonight. So
yes,
we're going to give away one pair to the second caller to 428-1382, and Mary Lynn is standing by.
It's an HD performance of the National Theatre. This won all kinds of awards in London. It won all kinds of awards in New York. So you are going to have the pleasure of seeing world-class theatre at the Lensic. Thank you, Bob Martin.
Yay. As always.
As always. So if we move on to Saturday, there's something amazing going on. There's an all-day event. Starts at 11 a.m., and it's all kinds of local brews and things that you can eat. There's going to be 10 bands. So if you like coffee and if you like music, all day at Better Day Coffee Shop, which is at 905 West Alameda Street in the Solana Center. It's going to be a rockin' day. So you can stop in. You can stay, you can go back and forth several times. It's very inexpensive to get in. And it addresses some of the sort of ongoing criticisms. People often say the music scene in Santa Fe is kind of blah. It's not. There are amazing local bands. And sadly, and there's a wonderful piece at the very end of Pasatiempo by Rob DeWalt about the fact that two of our major music festivals have been canceled for the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Which ones?
The gig, I'll tell you exactly which ones are not going to be shown.
Well, anyway, yeah. People can get their Positempo and read it themselves.
Yeah, and so it's a way of sort of filling in the gaps.
Right.
Gypsy jazz ensemble, swing, local classical, all kinds of things are going on there.
Yeah.
The other thing that's happening on Saturday is the traditional Baile de Cascarones, which is that Spanish tradition of the eggs filled with confetti that is performed at the end of Lent. So that's going to be at the Santa Fe Community Center.
And it's a dance.
It's a dance.
And it's a real community event. I went to that years ago, and that, I don't know if they still do it, but there were these traditions where I think it was like the men get a tie and the women get an apron, and then you have to find the person whose fabric matches yours, and then you do a dance with them.
No, I didn't know that. The way in which it's set up traditionally is the man has an egg that's filled with confetti, and he goes to the partner he wants to dance with, and he breaks the egg over her head and sprinkles the confetti, and
right.
So she has to dance with him.
The 8th annual celebration of the enduring American popular song with the John Rangel Trio, vocalist Patti Stevens and David Jeunesse, and host Tom McGuire featuring the songs of two Hollywood hacks who became Broadway titans, Frank Lesser and Burton Lane.
They started from humble beginnings.
Yes, as did almost everybody who did anything. Sunday, the 7th of April, from 4 to 6 at Vanessi. And for tickets, call 988-1234.
Saturday afternoon.
And that's did we say that's a benefit? All proceeds go to the Lentic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Saturday afternoon out at IAIA. And if you haven't been out to IAIA out on Avenupo Road, you should definitely take a little trip. It'll take you about 15 minutes from Center City if you drive the way I do and there's not a lot of traffic. It's a community-driven art event that's using beaded moccasin tops that will be installed at various sites in commemoration of the disappearance and murder of more than 600 Native women in Canada. And it's a real issue. And what they're trying to do, it's going to be from 10:30 to 11:45 a.m. with a lecture and then a workshop from 1 to 4 p.m. In beading. And they're trying to gather not only the Native community, but the entire community to raise awareness and get a little bit of support for the Native women in the community in Canada.
And musician Dave Anderson and Jan McDonald will be joining Three Faces of Jazz tonight at El Maison from 7:30 till 10:30. And that's at 213 Washington Avenue. And they've got a nice place for listening to music over there. And the food is excellent.
Excellent. On Monday, there's obviously we've already talked about the collected works, Gertrude Kolmar performance and reading. The United States and East Asia, Living in Challenging Times, is a two-day symposium that's hosted by St. John's College. And it's going to be on Monday from 2 to 6 p.m., a discussion and a cocktail reception, so you can start drinking early. And it's about East Asia. There we are. We had a little
have a smoothie.
Yes, indeed. East Asia and the Pacific issues and challenges. It's up on St. John's. It's presented also between St. John's and the Santa Fe World Affairs Forum. And you can get more information by going to WAForum, World Affairs Forum, at gmail.com to either register or to get information on it. The O'Keeffe Museum is presenting O'Keeffe's Language of Forms. It's a lecture by art historian Jan Castro at 6 p.m. at the O'Keeffe Museum Education Annex, which is there on Grant Avenue. And that's Monday night, 6 p.m.
Okay, and we have this weekend at Teatro Paraguas, Spoli Productions International presents Tom Hsu in the award-winning one-man show Einstein, a Stage Portrait by Willard Sims. It's tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2, and conversation afterwards. And for more information and reservations, 424-1601. Teatro Paraguas is kind of behind Home Depot. It's at 3205 Calle Maria here in Santa Fe.
And
that looks good.
It not only looks good, but Teatro Paraguas brings things that are a little out of the mainstream. And a little more challenging and often allows us to hear and see voices that we would not otherwise have access to. We're really, really lucky to have them in town.
Yeah.
So we mentioned Tuesday night Richard Good is going to be performing in a piano recital called The Last Word with music of Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven. It's presented by the Santa Fe Concert Society, and you can call Ticket Santa Fe or dial up 988-1234 at the Lensic to get tickets for what should be a 7:30 p.m. extraordinary performance.
There is an event called Collect 10 Lucky 13, and if you are an artist or an artistically inspired listener, as they wrote to me, you can submit work on April 10th and 11th at the CCA, and this is basically a call for all New Mexico artists to create a piece that fits within a 10 by 10 by 10 space.
I love it.
So the challenge, I love that kind of stuff because it's the challenge of limitations, and limitations always spur creativity.
Absolutely. On Tuesday afternoon, if you haven't gone out to SAR, the School of Advanced Research, over there on Garcia Street, it is the former home of the White Sisters, and it's one of the most extraordinary complex of buildings and landscape in Santa Fe. They're one of the original cultural migrants to Santa Fe. The cultural historian Chris Wilson and the photographer Miguel Gandert are going to talk about their new book called Center Place, The Plazas of New Mexico, and that'll take place Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. at the School for Advanced Research in their boardroom, which is just a knockout. So you can call 954-7203. One of the things that's nice about SAR, and they're doing more public programming, is that everything is free. So you get to get on campus, wander around, get inside some of the most beautiful buildings you will ever see.
Indeed.
And hear great scholars talk about their work.
Yep. And don't forget salsa music and dancing at the lodge tonight.
Salsa, yes, indeed.
And you talked about Theater Grotesco.
I didn't, but I'm going to.
Okay.
But go ahead. Go
for
it.
No, you.
Okay. Wednesday, well, we know that Theater Grotesco Eventua is ongoing, but I wanted to talk about the special events that are coming up. And they're going to be bringing in some of the most extraordinary physical theater and performance art theater artists over the course of this stretch. I went last night and I saw Eventua. And for those who have followed Theater Grotesco over the years, I've only been here for 12 years, it was really charming to see small fragments of the best of their performance. It was a charming evening. They did a great job. It was really a delight. And the collaboration between CCA and Theater Grotesco is a demonstration of how organizations have to begin to start pulling together. It's one of the best uses for the Munoz Waxman Gallery.
Yeah.
And it's the nicest space I have ever seen Grotesco in.
So
go for it, collaboration. Wednesday, the Lannan Foundation is bringing Isabel Wilkerson. And for those of you who are interested in American history, scholarship, social justice, issues of cultural freedom, this is going to be the place. I just implore you all to get over if you can get a ticket, and you probably can. Wednesday night at the Lensic, the Lannan Foundation brings us ideas and scholars and issues and critics and writers who are the very most sort of cutting edge and thoughtful. Isabel Wilkerson, who was the first African-American woman to win a Pulitzer as a journalist, has spent the last 15 years researching the Great Migration. And when you say the Great Migration to people, they have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
But it's actually the migration of ex-slaves and the children of slaves from the South to both major urban centers in the North and in the West. And it starts after World War I, and it continues right through the 70s. And she's going to be discussing her important book. It's a huge tome, called The Warmth of Other Suns, the epic story of America's great African-American migration. And she'll be talking with John Stauffer, 7 p.m. at the Lensic.
Who's a great author also.
John Stauffer is a brilliant author. It's going to be a night that no one will want to miss.
You know, things like that, like the Great Migration, this is a phenomenon in history that, as you said, probably a lot of people don't know about, and it's all about what the United States is today.
And how we grow and morph and change. And the fact that people move in very important ways responding to social and cultural and economic issues.
Right.
And one of the things that's most important about Wilkerson's book is that oftentimes historians have laid at the feet of the African-American migration issues that were problems in major urban centers. And what she basically does is all of the homework and all the research and presents it beautifully written to demonstrate that, in fact, many of the African-American migrations saved cities. They were not the cause of the problems, that they created stable environments in parts of the city that had been unstable before.
KSFR presents, Can the Supreme Court Find a Path to Family Values by Upholding Marriage Equality? A Roadmap Through the Constitutional Issues. And this is Monday at 7:30 at the Unitarian Universalist Church. And a couple of respected attorneys from Albuquerque will be there talking about this particular issue. So very important.
Down with DOMA.
And KSFR.
And KSFR is in there.
Up with KSFR.
Up with KSFR, exactly. And, you know, there's a meeting going on in Denver right now, which is on the whole idea of media and freedom. And the idea that this is a station that is independent, that isn't depending on any corporate or highly organized governmental organization. They get no support from public broadcasting. This allows you to hear voices that are unimpeded and unbiased. Thursday, Depth of a Moment, in four parts, opening night at CCA, Grotesco Combination Eventua series. And it's going to be the performance at 7 p.m. of performance art piece by Lisa Fay and Jeff Glassman. It should be an extraordinary night, and it will also be performed Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night of this coming week. So get over to CCA. You can call 474-8400 or go to theatergrotesco.org for all the information and for tickets. We already talked about Thursday afternoon, Alex Pena at 6 p.m. at Collected Works Bookstore. Also on Thursday at the United Methodist Church, the St. John's United Methodist Church over on Old Pecos Trail, Steve Terrell is going to be talking about the inner workings of the New Mexico State Legislature. So if you ever thought, besides Linda's explanation, that you didn't really know how it worked, it will be a very, very interesting evening.
Is he going to have bodyguards?
I don't know if he's going to have bodyguards, but it's Thursday afternoon at 1 p.m., so if you want a good lunch break, I definitely recommend it. Tribal Archives, Ethics and the Right to Access, is a talk by attorney Peter Chestnut from 11 a.m. to noon at the School of Advanced Research in their boardroom. It will be a very enlightening exhibition. It's about the right to reclaim tribal objects. And right now in Paris, there is an auction that has a whole collection of Hopi kachinas that were given to be sold by museums in Arizona who suddenly realized that, oops, they're not art objects and you shouldn't be selling them. And so this whole to-do of reclamation and reclaiming of native objects, of sacred objects, is at the core of this. So take a lunch break on Thursday, go over to SAR, and listen to Peter Chestnut explain how this all works.
All right.
Also on Thursday, if you're willing to get out of town, there are two amazing things that are going on. Actually, not on Thursday, today, the Mesa Public Library Art Gallery up in Los Alamos. It's so close, and we rarely get overlap and exchange, but they have an exhibition called Underground of Enchantment that's opening today. It's a traveling group show of 3D photographs of the Carlsbad Caverns' deepest cave. It's the deepest cave in the United States. It's Lechuguilla Cave. And it's a beautiful, beautiful collection.
Lechuguilla?
lechuguilla.
Like the big old lettuce?
I guess so. Maybe it's because of the way... But there are formations that go far beyond our stalagmite, stalactite sort of understandings that are gorgeous. So if you don't like going underground, you get to let the artists and photographers show you what's down there. Reception from 4 to 5:30 and up there at the library's art gallery.
And for our friends up in Taos, Natalie Goldberg will be appearing for the following of, let's see. Oh, she will be talking about her book, The True Secret of Writing. Tomorrow, April 6th, at the Brodsky Bookshop at 4 in the afternoon.
The other place where you will get to see if you go up today, and this stuff is going to be on through the end of May. The rest of the Carlsbad images are at Pajarito Environmental Education Center, and they're going to have lectures and they're going to have workshop. It's going to be quite extraordinary, and in both cases there is no charge, so it makes it even more compelling. 4 p.m. on Sunday, if you want to go back up to Los Alamos, or you want to do both on Sunday, the Amsterdam-based ensemble, the Califax Reed Quintet, and it's an unusual ensemble of musical instruments, is going to be performing the music of Ravel, Debussy, and Gershwin. 4 p.m. Sunday the 7th at the Duane Smith Auditorium at the high school.
And I would like to just send a shout out to all of our wonderful listeners and the people who send me emails about event listings. I really try to get them all on the air, and as I was going through my inbox right now, I see that there were some from the past weeks that I did not get to, and I just want to apologize. I do the best I can, but there's a lot, and, you know.
You do an amazing job,
well,
Charlotte.
Well, you're so good.
Well, but
I just have this inbox which has 457,000 things in it, and you can't always get to them all.
Well, you can't get to all of them, but these are organizations that are small organizations that often don't have the funds to buy an ad in one of the journals or in one of the magazines or to get posters out. And they know that they can connect with you and have a fair shot at having you not only mention them, but as is an example with the Holocaust Cantata, to be able to come and have their voice heard on the radio. This is a resource that goes far beyond what most radios will provide. And one of the things that I wanted to say about the Holocaust Cantata is, you know, there was this bizarre, almost maniacal phenomenon during the Holocaust where the Germans, in order to allow other nations not to think that they were doing anything bad, would have the musicians and the performers perform. They would write music and they would perform the music for visitors from the UN and from other nations. So some of that music was actually performed at the concentration camps during the Holocaust.
I know, I read a memoir years ago by, I think she was a violinist who was one of those performers.
Yeah.
And she said, we were the ones who, we had clothes and we were hungry but not starving.
Exactly, exactly. What human beings can do to other human beings is beyond depressing.
I know.
But
it's time to go.
It's time to go.
Do you hear the music?
Hasta la vista. I hear the music.
The music is telling us that
pray
it's time to go.
Pray for rain.
Yeah,
we've got
really.
Clouds. Please pray
do
for
your
rain.
Dances and incantations.
Absolutely.
Now, let's see. We've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. Diane Karp is with us many Fridays, speaking of the arts, and Rob DeWalt will be here next week. We sort
Yay,
of go
Rob.
Back and forth, yes, indeed.
The music, my maven. See, he'll be able to tell you the yeah. various music
he's,
festivals
he's
that
so
have been canceled.
In.
He's the best.
The cover of the Pasta Tempo is really cool today,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's one of the pieces from one of the local artists in the Chiaroscuro.
Oh, okay.
Group show. It's and there's a really wonderful article about Bonnie's work in
okay.
the Pasta Tempo.
We are streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz, etc. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Diane Karp, thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for being here, and